Gamecock fans, today is Wednesday, January 21st, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well on this wide open Wednesday, as we call it on the Chief Sports Network. The Gamecocks won last night in men's basketball. I'll take it. I'm not going to complain. We've gone through the record and what it's been the last few years against Power League competition. These moments have been few and far between. The Gamecocks had a nice performance led start to finish against the Oklahoma Sooners, who really have some good players. I thought, their three guys that scored were good. They had like three guys, and then the rest of them kind of went cold from the field. Sooners shot 19%. Gamecocks at 45% from 3-point range. I said from the field, I meant from three. Sooners 19% from three. Gamecocks 45. Kind of a short bench last night. All five starters played the majority of the minutes and all scored in double figures. Elijah Strong, 17. He got off to a fast start. Mongolian and Mike Sharvgems, 10. A good all-around game for him. Kobe Knox played well, 18 points. Michi had 20, a lot coming in the second half. And Miles Studi, 3 for 5 from three-point land with 11 points. Hustled, played pretty well. Gamecocks out-rebounded the Sooners by one, 36-35. I thought EJ Walker and Grant Polk off the bench, those are freshmen, came in and did some nice stuff. So that's the good news. The bad news is the Gamecocks have to go to Texas A&M, which is actually in the standings right now. The top two teams in the league are up next at Texas A&M and then at home against defending national champion Florida. A game against A&M is Saturday, and then next Wednesday is Florida. And then LSU comes in the following Saturday looking for revenge. LSU's not off to a good start right now. In fact, Carolina, with the win last night, goes ahead of LSU and Oklahoma in the standings. They're not last place anymore. And they've matched their SEC win total from a year ago. See how much better thing winning what winning can winning a game can do, look, and I don't think anybody would watch this team and go, man, they're pretty good. I think they do some good things. They do some good things, some things really well, and they're very deficient in other ways, which has cost them. And you kind of look at how the season's unfolded so far, right here on January 21st, and you kind of look, and it's like, well, if they would have just had some good fortune in a couple of the really close ones, Northwestern comes to mind, Virginia Tech comes to mind in the non-conference. Georgia and Auburn in the conference. If they'd have just found a way to win those, we'd be talking about a different situation. Now, I'm not saying that this is not a big picture conversation about men's basketball at South Carolina. This is not a hey, they're close conversation. This is just a man, you wish maybe some things had gone your way. I felt in those close losses, they weren't good enough. I never kind of felt like, man, if just that would have happened. I mean, they're right there. Whittle even said after the loss at Clemson by 7, he's like, that was the most lopsided 7-point loss I've ever seen. But that's a feeling. And, I always get on people for feelings over facts. Facts are, they've lost some close ones and it's cost them. But maybe you can get some to go your way. I thought the game at Auburn, they competed hard. Again, I still think they were good enough to win that one. And we'll see about A&M. I like A&M's coach, Bucky Ball. A&M did not get off to such a great start in the non-con, but they've kind of turned it around in league play and have been a dangerous team. And you know all about Florida, the Gators. Those guys are still pretty good off last year. And then LSU struggling right now, but we'll be coming to town looking for revenge. And so that's the next three. I kind of like to look at it in 3 or 4 game chunks. Obviously, if you drop 2 or 3, you're 3 and 6. If you can get to that 4 and 5 mark, Texas, I think, is down the road. It doesn't get any easier for the Gamecocks. I mean, they do have Florida twice. Lucky Carolina, right, on the schedule. So we'll see what happens moving forward, but it's always nice to get a win. Happy for those guys. As frustrated sometimes as we all get watching them play. I mean, there are a lot of good people in the basketball program from Lamont Paris on down. All the players are good citizens. They play hard. They don't They don't always play smart. They don't always play well, but they do play hard. And to get up off the mat like that, beat an Oklahoma team that, really struggled shooting from outside, and but also has some really good players. Alabama, I mean, Alabama was on the ropes out there recently. So Oklahoma's capable, very capable. But always nice to beat the new teams too in the league, right? They probably just rolled in. We're Oklahoma. We're the Sooners. We're the Longhorns. And so far, those two teams are 0-2 at the Colonial Life Arena. So there's that. Little victories, right? Little victories. There's a good song called Little Victories out there. Football for today. Want to dive in. This is very important. It's something maybe because of all the focus in the portal on the offensive line. Because a lot of outbound portal and a lot of names and a lot of guys that have played a lot of ball here, either this past year, for the last 2 or 3 years, a lot of talk about the offensive line, and you can kind of look around at the other positions on offense and think, well, they're going to be okay here. I mean, quarterback, you got Sellers coming back. They restocked the running back room, and you have players coming back that I think we all are kind of believe that Matt Fuller and Juwan Howell can be pretty good running backs, right? Christian Clark was a big addition. Isaiah Gustav is still there and is a guy Kendall Briles is familiar with. The two guys from Penn State and Ohio State, Collins and Coleman, are capable guys that were in, solid programs. So you look at it, and you got a new running backs coach too, so that's a major upgrade there. There's not a whole lot of coaching that goes on at that position, but a bad running backs coach can mess you up at that spot. And there's been some good ones through here. Don't get me wrong. Thomas Brown, Dez Kitchings, Bobby Bentley, Jay Graham was a good, Robert Gillespie. I mean, you go back in time, there's been some really, Buddy Pough. There's been some really good running backs coaches at the University of South Carolina, don't get me wrong, that have made a difference at that position. But it's unlike like defensive line, which is what we're going to talk about today. Running back, it's a lot of natural ability, and then teaching assignments, and then teaching fundamentals like ball security and things like that. And then the most important thing they do is handle the rotation, most of the time. And so they determine who's going in. Are they going to ride the hot hand? That kind of thing. And I felt in 2024, Mark Worrell Blackwell did a good job because it was common sense. If you have Rocket, get ball to Rocket, right? And don't underestimate the power of someone messing that up, right? Please don't get me wrong. That can be messed up, but he didn't do it. But then this past year, it was just like I thought there was. I just thought the whole thing was upside down from the get-go, and they didn't do themselves any favors. That wasn't the main reason the offense was like it was, but I kind of felt like once again they kind of had trouble identifying who their best players were, and I don't know that they ever did it through the whole year. And so there's a new running backs coach. Stan Drayton's been around for a long time. He's got a proven track record, so we'll see. And that was just a little aside about the running backs. But today we're going to talk about the other side of the ball. And this is important because I believe South Carolina has a chance to cycle up on defense. I was a little bit more, I guess, bullish about it before Cisse and Jalen Kilgore left for the pros. Not to say I was shocked by that. I just thought, hey, those guys. I'll be honest, I was a little surprised their draft grades came back or were as high as they were. Not that they're not good, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I don't know everything, obviously. And the NFL people really like them. And who doesn't? I mean, Kilgore is a big dude that can play physical in the box and can cover. They love guys like that. The National Football League versatility. And Cisse's a really good corner. Good hips, feet, long. Can tackle. So yeah, I get it. And that's that. So, those were hits. But I kind of felt like, hey, you got, and you did lose Mykel Goodwin and Nick Barrett on the interior of the D line. And that's what we're going to focus on today is the defensive line. But and that was expected. So I kind of thought, well, all the running back, I mean, all the linebackers are back. Dylan Stewart's back. You should be better back on the back end at safety. You got Swain and Collier at corner. The nickel was Kilgore and a concern. Quasheed Scott, I think, is the likely candidate there, but Jaquel Holman could also play a factor. The freshman class that Carolina's bringing in, a lot of the guys that are going to play are on the defensive side of the ball. Jazavian Currents is a player, whether he's a corner or a safety, who knows? I believe safety is where he fits best, and I believe he could start. Julian Walker at defensive end. Aiden Harris at defensive tackle is a player I think can get in the mix. Maybe Noah Clark. So you kind of got those guys all coming in to kind of backfill. And then, there's players that are going to get better. I think a lot of us hope Jalua Solomon gets on the field and starts becoming the player we thought he was. I really like DeMarcus Leach. The young corner out of Abbeville. He's kind of like Judge Collier. He snuck on the field a little. Judge played more than DeMarcus did in 2023, which was his freshman year. But then he comes back and he's a bud, all of a sudden a starter. Can DeMar I'm not saying Leach is going to start. I think that'll be Swain and Collier. But can he get in that rotation and play more this year? Kendall Daniels Jr. at safety is a player that they love that started playing more and more. So there'll be some new faces, but on defense, this staff has kind of a track record of replacing, especially in the secondary, replacing guys. Not to say I'm not concerned about it, because anytime you replace guys that play this many snaps and made this many plays, no matter where it is on defense, or offense, there's a concern. Just to be straight over tackle here on January 21st, I can't tell you that I am as bullish on the defense's outlook for next season as maybe I would have been had everybody come back. That's just the bottom line. But I do think South Carolina has a chance to cycle back up. I think that, not to say they were deficient at places on defense, but they just weren't quite as good. Can they be as good as 2024? It would take a lot. It would take a lot. Just like that season, it took a lot of kind of surprises for that to happen. And guys, not only guys like Kennard and Demetrius Knight coming in from the portal and being really, really good, but also guys like O'Donnell Fortune playing his best football. All the D tackles, Boogie, Tonka Hemingway, TJ Sanders, all played their best football. They had depth that they brought in. Like Michael Goodwin at D tackle played in the rotation. And Nick Emenwori played his best football as well. Let's not forget that guy. Good Lord. He's tearing it up with the Seahawks, who play for the NFC Championship. Glad I don't have to pull against him for the Bears. The Bears lost. The silver lining for the Bears lost the other day. I can actually pull for Ernest Jones and Nick Emenwori with Seattle, the Legion of Boom 2.0 out there. But, it would take that. But I do think, can it be better than last season's defense? Absolutely. And it starts up front. And so, good news, bad news up front. And this is the most key position, I think, if you're an SEC defense. If you're deficient on the defensive line, no matter where it is, whether that's a tackle. And when I say deficient, I don't think last year's team was deficient up front. Was it? Did they have a guy that played as well as TJ Sanders on the inside? No. But there were games, and you win some, lose some. There were games like the Alabama game where Goodwin and Barrett were dominant at times, and that's what you want. I mean, you're replacing all those defensive tackles, and then your coach gets in an accident, unfortunately. I'm glad he's alive. And he's one of the really, I guess, better developers of talent on the defensive line in college football. And he's proven it everywhere he's been, including South Carolina. And so you're missing him. So against kind of the odds, and Jordan Dove stepped in and did a good job, as well as Jameel Walker, Julian's dad. And the room was fine, I thought. And so with the odds stacked against it, I thought the interior of the defensive line played good football last year. And I think they'll continue to do so this year, but you still, this is another year where you're going to have to replace players, and there are some unknowns. And at edge, it's kind of the same way. I think South Carolina getting three guys at edge in the portal, I thought was big. And these are guys too, like last year they got, Demon Clowney came in, and I thought he played pretty good football in spot duty last year, just to be honest. But he wasn't going to be a star. He wasn't beating out Brian Thomas Jr. and wasn't getting a ton of snaps, behind some of these guys. The D tackle position out of the portal, Troy Pikes and Devontae Miles did some good things, as well as Brownlow Dindy, and all three of those guys are back. So that was good. But you look at edge this year, and it's another thing where there's question marks scattered all over the place. But I do feel good about the portal guys they got. And then the returning players, there's question marks. Some of it's because of age. Some of it's because of injury when you look at it. But we'll just kind of go through it. It starts with Dylan Stewart, obviously. He's back. I think that they did get him some help, which was needed. I think if somebody on the other side can step up and be formidable, maybe that's a couple of people. There's a new coach there, Deion Barnes. We don't know exactly what his philosophy is as far as rotating guys, but I do believe the philosophy on defense in general is to rotate defensive linemen. Des Umazulu is now at Alabama, and what did they lose with him? That was 329 snaps last year. Des played 329 snaps. That's a pretty sizable number. But they'll probably rotate. So it kind of starts with Dylan Stewart, and this is his last year in college, most likely. And he has a chance to be a top five draft pick, the number one pick. Time to get healthy, and he will. He was, remember the back injury last year, Beamer called it the broken back. That's hard to play through. And I admire the guy. This is a guy that's, making bank to play college football. It's not stupid money. It's worth it. It's to me, I think the Gamecocks are paying him fair, given his talent level and opportunities he would have had to go elsewhere. But for a guy like that, he kind of rose against the thoughts that a lot of us have had about players that get paid a whole lot. Most of the time, I think if when you're a young person, and things are not going well on the field, winning and losing wise, and your back hurts, and you're getting held again, and it's not getting called again, and it's just frustrating because teams are doing everything they can to throw you off. A lot of 90% of the players out there in his position would say, I'm out, And then everybody would have gone into mass panic thinking he was getting into the portal. And, so that credit him for trying to give it a go. I appreciate that about Dylan Stewart. That guy plays the game the right way. I hope he gets the calls this year. Most importantly, outside of the calls, because you can't control those. I mean, officiating in all sports now, and I don't know whether it's because TVs are so good and everybody can see it, and you got super slow-mo, and maybe they've always kind of been hit or miss because they're humans, but now we notice it a lot more. I don't know what it is, but there's just been some crazy stuff officiating, not just Carolina, everybody. Nevertheless, I digress there. That could be a whole topic for a show. But it starts with Dylan Stewart, and I think that it's time for him to have a dominant year and save his best for last, and if he can get healthy, and I believe he will, and get healed up. There's not a lot better in college football. So who's opposite him? Well, right now I've got two guys circled. This doesn't mean these will be the guys, but I got two guys circled as far as starters go, and that's Caleb Herring, the guy they got from Tennessee out of the portal, natural pass rusher. I think on third down, you put him on one side, Stewart on the other. There's going to be some issues for opposing offenses. I think that consistency, playing the run, those would be the concerns. But you have a guy that's played in the SEC and made plays in the SEC, and it needs to be a situation where Carolina again takes a player that's had experience at the major college level or the lower level or whatever, and they get the best out of them. We talked about talent maximization yesterday when we were talking about Indiana. In spots, South Carolina's done that. When you talk about individual talent, especially on defense, Sean Murphy, like I've said, is the recent example of that at linebacker. So, got to get the most out of Caleb Herring. Got to get the most out of this next guy, Kelby Collins, who is a different type of end. He's 6'4", 275, kind of a bigger end. I'm an advocate. I thought this was Jaylen Brown was going to be last year before he got hurt. With Kelby Collins checking in with people at Alabama, the thing is, what I was told was, love him. I wish he played like his hair was on fire more often. So, again, that's you can sometimes you can't fix that, sometimes you can fix that. And I think going into his sometimes guys when they go into their later years of college football, that clicks. And so hopefully they get that out of Kelby Collins, because if they do, I think he can be quite good, especially against the run, setting the edge and all that. And he's a pretty good pass rusher. I mean, to be 275, he can get home. Drew Collins's brother is an upside guy. Can he be Jordan Strong? I mean, he didn't lead the country in sacks like Jordan Strong did at SC State, but I think he's got that natural pass rushing ability. Still a young guy. Can they bring him along? Can he get in the rotation? To me, he's kind of right there with the two guys that redshirted this past year, combined 33 snaps between them. Quay Dodd, Jaquavius Dodd from Eastside, 6'6", 240. Had some, I think he had a sack in a game. Big upside guy, kind of like his cousin Kevin Dodd that played at Clemson, who played at Riverside and Eastside. In the shout out to Hale McGranahan, Eastside graduate. Riverside and Eastside are rivals up there in Greenville County, kind of, I guess you'd call it west of Greer, the WOG area, west of Greer. But, good player out of Greenville, had some moments last year. They really like him. And then Anthony Addison, kind of the opposite type of prospect. His floor was high. Ceiling may not be quite as high because he's not 6'6", 240, but he's got a good motor. And they like him. I mean, he kind of got in the rotation a little bit last year, did get suspended one game, but I have high hopes for Anthony Addison. And of the two, I'm kind of, I kind of think Addison may be first man up. Look, it's January 21st. I reserve the right to change my mind. So you got him. Okay, so then Kobe Saki Pra, who, and you're like, who? What? What'd you just say? Kobe Saki Pra was a guy that got out of Georgia in the 2025 class. And I was told when they got him, it was like sleeper type guy. A great developmental prospect to get. And then he tore his ACL out for the year. So you don't know what you're going to get from him. He was injured, but he's also kind of in the same stage of the program as Addison and Dodd. So it's wait and see on that. But don't forget that name. It's a funny name, but don't forget that one. As we move forward into the future, I don't know about this season. But as we move forward, there's a lot of positive feelings, at least on the surface, going in about Kobe Saki Pra. And then another guy that unfortunately got injured, and it was kind of bad. I got one of my contacts within the program. He was kind of like, based on feedback he gave me, and that I reported on the Big Spur last year, it was kind of like, I don't know, the angel of death a little bit. The guy with the sickle, you see that when teams have going a string of upsets, they're like holding the sickle. Because Jaylen Brown, he was really out. He's like, Jaylen Brown's tearing it up, spring practice, boom, and then he's out. And then George Wilson had like an amazing scrimmage. Yeah, George Wilson, like, and then he's out. So George Wilson's back for another year, assuming he gets his medical, which I don't see why he wouldn't. We all know who he is. He was class of 2021, was committed to Carolina after kind of the coaching change. He was committed to Muschamp. He went to Florida State. You know, what didn't get as big. Finally found his way to Campbell, got bigger. Here's the thing about George Wilson. I don't know how he will play the run. That's kind of probably what he needs to work on. Obviously, being out the whole year, you don't know. But I do think first step off the edge, pass rusher, you know, kind of like maybe similar skill set to Caleb Herring. Herring's probably a little bit better against the run. And Caleb stood up a little more and played more in space in Tennessee's defense. Of course, George has too in Campbell's defense. That was, I believe, an odd front. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But, you know, defensive ends coming off ACLs, you just don't know. You know, you had Jordan Strawn, who I mentioned earlier, who just really was not the same guy in 23 after tearing it in 2022. So you hope for the best with him and maybe he can get in and rush the passer. And then finally, Julian Walker's coming in. Julian Walker is the type of prospect from the state of South Carolina you never count out. Because he got better and better that from the time Hale McGranahan discovered him. And I say discovered him, teams knew about him. He had some offers, but he was kind of way under the radar and he advocated for him for everybody. I don't know where he'll end up in the final rankings, but dominant football player his senior year, dominant football player at the Navy All-American Bowl, probably will shoot way up. Dad is a strength coach. The whole key for him is adding the necessary bulk and strength to get ready. But if you kind of look at what they did with Dylan Stewart from January to the start of 2024, and kind of every other athlete except for whatever reason, the offensive line last year, you know, nutrition, strength, and you know, and his dad being, you know, in that world too. You'd think he probably knows how to get his body better. I'm not counting him out. I think he could get in the rotation for sure. You know, I Stewart and then Herring, Kelby Collins, you know, you could see a world where Addison and Julian Walker are in that rotation. You could see a world where Drew Collins is in that rotation. George Wilson's kind of a wild card. Jaquavius Dodd, Kobe Saki-Pra. You know, I think most of the time they rotate. 2 years ago, they rotated six. You know, would it shrink? Deion Barnes, what's his philosophy on that? Or is it an overall philosophy for the defense? We'll see there. So now inside, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy. This is a player that I hate that he had nagging injuries. Because he did, and it kind of limited his snaps in certain games. There were signs and flashes. I'm not sitting here saying he's an All-American right now, based on what we've seen. There were flashes, though, of the way he could move. And Darren Usher said it on our show. He may be the best athlete on the whole team last year that we hadn't seen before. We didn't see it at Texas A&M. Travion Robertson, and I think Gabe too is a good worker and he has a want to. With him, you know, maybe it's a little like Kelby Collins, play like your hair is on fire. In fact, that's been said, you know, and I think that when he played last year, we saw some of that. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of loafing out of him. I did see some nagging injuries that kept him from maybe playing as many snaps as was thought. But this is another save your best for last. He's a former five-star player out of Lakeland, Florida. Wants to be a minister. Just a guy you want to pull for. And then there's Troy Pikes. The Gamecocks won a late portal recruiting battle for him, beating Georgia and Ohio State. And toward the end of last season, you can start to see why 33 was out there a whole bunch. I thought he had a really good game against Clemson. Athletic guy, a little bit different build than Gabe Brownlow Dindy, obviously, from Atlanta originally. I think that Brownlow Dindy and Pikes probably will walk out there first as starters, as long as they're healthy. First day of spring practice, kind of like Goodwine and Barrett did last year. From the transfer portal. I'll go through the returners first. How about that? So Devontae Miles is back. Miles played 142 snaps. By the way, Brownlow Dende, 300 snaps last year. So he did play quite a bit. Troy Pikes, 244. Devontae Miles played 142 snaps last season. Christian Ingram, I think, at three. And that's all that comes back, snap-wise. Miles did some good things sometimes, other times not so much. Sometimes he didn't play a whole lot. He's kind of another swing guy that could, like, if you play Kelby Collins out at edge, you can play Devontae Miles out at edge. And if you go three man, he's tailor-made to be an end. He's a player that there are some you talk to that really like him. There's not anybody that doesn't. And there's some that you talk to that they say, well, he's got to develop a little bit and do some things better. There were some flashes for him, but you're glad he's back because he's experienced and coming back for this year. And he's not a transfer from Bowling Green anymore. He's a second-year guy at South Carolina. The two that they brought in last year, these guys are body types that I think they're trending towards doing more of. They're 6'6", 310, 6'5", 315, long-armed guys. And that's Caleb Williams. And I've talked about his the injuries with him, man. He got in early before the bowl, right? He was the only non-wide receiver that came in from Virginia. Gamecocks won a nice recruiting battle. He's out of the Richmond area. Big athletic guy. Doing some good things, great things. And then he gets hurt, misses spring, go on. Finally gets his way back. They're about to play him in the game. He's doing so well, and he breaks his leg. Whew, that's tough. That's tough for anybody, but you got to overcome adversity. And so, depending on his health, there's been a couple of times where, as a freshman, his first year at Carolina, he's done some nice things. So the upside's there. I think the same thing with Christian Ingram. They got him late. He was a late riser out of Georgia, had a bunch of offers. I believe they ended up beating Kentucky and some other schools. Georgia had offered him, Auburn had offered him out of Covington, I believe. But he's another guy. He did see some time this year with the upside. Again, Travion Robertson. I'm excited about the raw materials here that Travion has to work with these two guys. Will it be next year? I don't know. But I think that the body type, the athleticism is how you draw them up. And I'll throw in Jordan Thomas into kind of that area, the Christian Ingram, Caleb Williams area. He's the guy from Georgia. Family ties to Columbia, originally from New Jersey. South Carolina thought they had him, ended up going to Georgia. He's another guy that you want him to play with his hair on fire, right? Travion Robertson has, again, the raw materials there, but you got to get him going. Two true freshmen, and I'll get back to the other portal edition in a second. Aiden Harris and Noah Clark. Noah Clark's got to reshape a little bit, but boy, he's a big guy that can move. Again, raw material, you love that. He's already in. I think that's a guy that, depending on how he adapts to the coaching and development, I'm not ruling him out getting on the field next year. It's not something I'd bet money on at this point, but he's kind of a guy that they don't have. I mean, this guy's 330, 340. He's huge on the inside. Now he'll lean up, right? But anybody that's that big that can move, you don't count them out. And then Aiden Harris, who's, again, it's kind of like Addison and Dodd. Harris is the higher floor guy, naturally strong, has been played a ton of high school football on the field since he was a freshman. Making plays, obviously had offers from everybody in the country. Naturally strong guy, not kind of a Taka Hemingway type coming out, but a little bit more. Whereas Taka was a multi-sport athlete, and actually played end his first year under Will Muschamp because he was a little lighter because he would lose weight basketball, baseball, and then have to gain it back. Ended up being inside, but Aiden Harris is more that kind of guy. your athletic guy, kind of like Troy Pikes, that style. I'm not ruling him getting out, him getting in the rotation at all, especially if they rotate six with him. And who knows, he could be right there. I think that he's also the type of guy that will take to the coaching, and Travion Robertson recruited him and all that. And then Tamia Durojaye. There we go. Tamia Durojaye from Illinois. It's been a long journey to South Carolina for this guy. I think it's his fifth school. Was recruited out of Delaware when they took Braden Davis, the quarterback. He was a D end and has grown into this 6'5", 300-pound grown man at D tackle. If there's a guy out of the portal that I think could supplant Troy Pikes or Gabriel Brown-Lodindy, it's this guy. I absolutely, right now, would project him to be top four in the rotation and maybe more. And he's a guy that's just gotten better. At every stop, he's gotten better and better and better. Illinois didn't want to lose him. He was honorable mention all Big Ten last year. That's the type of guy at D tackle you bring in, and you teach him your habits, and Travion can fine tune him, and he could be more than just, hey, isn't it kind of funny? This guy's been to five schools and was once wanting to commit to the Gamecocks as an end. The more I learn about him, the more I think this was a very almost sneaky good portal pickup at D tackle. And one that kind of solidifies the room. So what you're looking for is at least a four-man rotation, maybe a six. So if you put Durojaye in there, let's put him at three, January 21st, and Miles at four, maybe. Maybe Ingram, if Williams is healthy, you got to nail down that fourth one. That'll be interesting. And then get other guys into the rotation. I think they'll be fine there. I don't know that South Carolina can have a bunch of injuries at this position, and really at edge either, because there's a lot of unproven guys and guys that have not been at South Carolina. I mean, we thought about Xavion Hardy last year, and he got out and went somewhere else, but he just didn't fit. I mean, he just wasn't going to be coached like Travion Robertson wants to coach him, and that happens. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened more often around here, because it happens at other schools all the time. Some guys don't want to be coached at Georgia by Kirby. Some guys don't want to be coached hard, and that was what was the deal with Hardy, and he wasn't going to play. But we were talking about him being fourth last year, so you never know, you never know. And there's not a talent issue with Xavion Hardy. It's a want to. So you just wish him the best and move on. But we'll see what happens with this rotation. But the defensive line, obviously, because if you have a good D line, then I think you're going to have a good linebacking core. So that means your whole front seven's got a chance to be really good, and that's obviously very beneficial when you're trying to play defense in the Southeastern Conference. Thank you for coming to my defensive line talk. All right, folks, the morning show kicks off. Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show. Jamie Bradford and Matt Smith. They call him Smitty. This Smitty thing is going to bother me because I've got Deputy Smitty, right? Cameron Smith. And they're both from Spartanburg. And now we got Smitty from Four Quarter Friday and Sports Talk that sits in on the show. And that's Matt Smith, also from Spartanburg. We're all a bunch of Spartanburgians, right? Spartanburgers. I don't know what you say. Or we just called Spartans, who knows? But Matt Smith will sit in with Jamie Bradford. They're gonna have Derek Scott on to talk about the win last night and spin it forward. And it is Wide Open Wednesday. That means you do not have to be a Club Chief member to interact with us in the ITG chat box. Still need to have a sponsor for the chat box, by the way. So Phil and I will be along to answer all your questions on Wide Open Wednesday. Right after the morning show here on the Chief Sports Network. If you'd like to join Club Chief, by the way, you can join for $4.99 a month right here on the YouTube channel and talk with us every day if you'd like. Tailgate Talks is out. Brandon Conrad, former Gamecock basketball player, is this week's special guest. You can catch the audio on the Chiefs Sports app or go to their YouTube channel, youtube.com/@tailgatetalks547. Please like and subscribe. Appreciate all of you liking this YouTube channel, getting us over 17,000. That happened quick after I made the ask. And I told you I wouldn't ask to like, subscribe, and share for a while. So I'm on a hiatus for that, but want to say I appreciate that from all of you. If you're curious to know what the next website thing is for me, go follow at Gamecock Show on X, because that's where all that news will be. It'll be a new site under the Inside the Gamecocks brand. I don't have specifics yet, working those details out, but I'll be back, as Arnold Schwarzenegger said once in The Terminator. All right, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. We'll see you on the show. Holla.